this sacred spot is that he should always search for Krishna. That means when he goes to the altar, when he goes to the lectures, when he goes to the ceremonies, where's Krishna here? Or when he enters into a discussion with someone, a personal interaction perhaps, a service he or she does, where is Krishna here? No? That's the first rule of a pilgrim which turns an ordinary visit or an ordinary journey into something that is quite spiritually fulfilling. After searching for Krishna, the pilgrim is open for a reciprocation. And as we heard yesterday in the story of Prahlad and Pitavasa, sometimes Krishna comes in unexpected ways. I expected God to speak in words to me, but he spoke in flowers today, and I almost missed the whole conversation. Interesting poem, no? So he is. Watch for the little hints, perhaps. What happens here in your meetings with others? Very well, Krishna could come in such a way, and therefore the second rule of the pilgrim is to always be aware or watch for Krishna's arrangements. No, Krishna makes some situational arrangement. And the third rule, which the pilgrim who wants his journey or visit to be spiritually enlivening, is that he tries to please Krishna. He tries to do something not for his pleasure alone, but for the pleasure of the Lord. And then by keeping these three rules, searching for Krishna, looking for the arrangements of Krishna behind the things which happened to him. Well, I mean, and the third was to please Krishna. This second rule is perhaps it requires some spiritual maturity to really see this. I always like to tell the story of one visitor to Vrindavan whose spectacles were stolen by the monkeys. And he turned to me if I could help him. And I do actually know how to get spectacles back from monkeys. I have a very good technique. I have to laugh because sometimes even the best techniques don't work with monkeys, you know. But in general, yes, there is a way. But I asked him, we can get back your spectacles, but could you perhaps think for a moment what could be an arrangement of Krishna? And he was not willing to look into that. He just wanted his spectacles back. So we got them back for him, and then I asked for the second time. Okay, now your spectacles are back, but why did this happen to you? Don't just ask what happened, but ask why did this happen? And you will open your perspective in larger ways. So, again, he was not willing to look there. He was a very proud person, a scientist. But the second or third day, I forgot, was it perhaps the third day, he came to me and said, I think Krishna took my spectacles from me through the monkey, because he wanted to show that I need to look with a new perspective, with new spectacles into the world. I have such a materialistic perspective, such a small mind I have, and Krishna wanted me to move on. So don't always ask what happened. There is always some cause hidden from our eyes, and if you can recognize that cause, you become a wise person, a mature person. And this will be a little bit our subject today. You can see from the small mind to the big mind. What this is you will be quite surprised. So let us start our lecture, but nice to see all of you. Krishna. Jai Jai Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Gopi jana vallabha girivara hari. Gopi jana vallabha girivara hari. Yasoda nandana raja jana rangana. Yasoda nandana raja jana ranjana. Yamuna tira vanachari. Yamuna tira vanachari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare Hare Jaya Prabhupada 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 Sila Prabhupada Jaya Radha Madan Mohan Radha Madan Mohan Radha Madan Mohan Sri Radhe
Assembly, I saw the devotees from Radhadesh. I want to welcome you affectionately. You must have started your journey quite early. Although it is winter and you are not always known for the most early risers, you came here. Wow! Welcome, welcome, welcome. I see Manu. I see perhaps Gopinath? Yes, Gopinath. Gopinath, I brought a present for you. I saw perhaps Surabhi. I can't see so good in the distance. Surabhi, you're here. Where? Acha. Yes, I see. And I believe more and more devotees will come as the festival commences and we are turning into the or coming to the night when the old year turns into the new year and the whole world will be perhaps a little bit or what will be a question mark, what will the next year bring. The world stage is moving quite fast at the moment. I have stopped to look at it because you become worried when you do. But by the way, that was always the case. There's no news in the material world. It's a place of birth, old age, disease, and death, faster or slower. It's always like this. My dear everyone, when Prabhupada was explaining the state of Krishna consciousness, what we mean with it, he was looking obviously for analogies that would stick to the Western mind. And Prabhupada had become accustomed to taking airplanes to journey first within America, then he circled the globe a few times. I remember the number 13, but I may be mistaken. And one day when he was coming from such an airplane, he introduced a very interesting way to look at Krishna consciousness. He said, it is above the clouds. The clouds of Maya, the clouds of illusion, which hold us captive, and if we can, and then he gave the example from his own airplane journey. It says when the airplane starts, it may be shady, it may be rainy, it may be slightly dark. But once it can cross or pierce through the blanket of clouds and is above the clouds, the passengers can see the sun. So as long as you are under the influence of Maya, of illusion, your perspective will be one thing, you will see one thing, but when you can cross over Maya, you are above the clouds with Krishna. And can you understand the analogy? Do we have some airplane travelers here? It happens to me maybe 20 times in a year, or I have become the man of the air, you know, flying. I think we all know coming through, and then we are seeing vastness, no dirt any longer, no air pollution, no Donald Trump. Anyways, no politics, nothing. We are above the cloud. So, in the Katha Upanishad, we have an interesting verse which tells us where is the difference. It's between the two terms, prayas and shreyas. And I would like to sing this verse with you. Unfortunately, I forgot the piece of paper. Nowadays, you have this amazing technology. Yes, if you make a photo, then I can sing it for you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Was a little under the clouds. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shreyascha Prayascha Manushyameta. Shreyascha Prayascha Manushyameta. Sto samparitya vivinaktitira.
Sto samparitya vivinaktitira.
Shreyo hi dhiro vipriyaso vinite.
Shreyo hi dhiro vipriyaso vinite.
Preyo mando yoga kshemat vinite. Yeah, this verse has a translation which I want to also read to you as Gaur Govinda makes another photo. It distinguishes really between two mindsets, and we will go a little bit into this two mindsets from the point of view of philosophy and then psychology. Yes, every soul has the option of accepting either the path of the senses that give immediate gratification, prayers, or the path of spiritual well-being, which is considered to be the ultimate good, or shreyas. The wise, after carefully waiting these two, accept the path of spiritual well-being, whereas the deluded conditioned souls prefer the path of quick sense enjoyment. In simple words, there are two options, two roads to take, left or right. The one is, okay, what makes me happy immediately? And the other is, what is for my ultimate goal? And wise people have seen that the ultimate goal is often better. In the self-development industry, it is known that this immediate sense gratification is good now, and after it is not so good. For instance, if I eat 50 tons of chocolate, it's a little big, maybe it tastes so good, but afterwards I turn into a snowball, you know, not snowball, it's very fat. Or if I, in a relationship, insist always on my point of view, my ego might be satisfied in the beginning, but I ruin actually the relationship if I don't listen to my friend or my partner or whoever. No, there are many examples, and we will need to look at how to manage from good now to good later. No, we need to do this. But first, let us understand this a little better. I've made for your understanding a little table. I actually have not made it. It was my office made it. The difference between small mind and big mind, or prayers and shreyas, means the prayers, what is good now, what I can enjoy now, is rooted in a conditioned and narrow vision which is based on the false ego. And to make a decision for what is good in the ultimate sense, you have to leave this type of ego-centered thought and think of the bigger picture, your consciousness, how you're different from the body, and your relationship with Krishna. So let us go now into the table. What's the meaning of prayers? That it's really that which is pleasant or immediately enjoyable. What's the meaning then of shreyas? That which is beneficial or ultimately good for the soul. Now these two have different natures. They feel different. The nature of prayers, this immediate for me, is instant gratification, where you satisfy the senses and ego on the short term. Remember my two examples, eating a lot of chocolate, or always, that's for the senses, and for the ego is I'm always right, you know. For the long, for the immediate moment, it's quite nice, or pleasurable for the ego. Shreyas is different. It may not be easy or pleasurable in the moment, but it leads to lasting fulfillment. Sometimes even liberation from illusion and alignment, connection with our higher nature. If I make a decision, for instance, where I say, okay, I like to stay in bed, really. It's winter time and I have a good blanket by Krishna's mercy and a hot bottle on my belly. You know, I'm this would be prayers, but there is also this cool or interesting spiritual program in the temple. So, okay, I give up my warm bed now, my prayers, and because I know if I go for the temple program, if I sing the holy names with the devotees, that will be good in the ultimate end. There's a little discomfort. Perhaps you felt it this morning. Oh, I have to go out of bed. I don't know, maybe the bathroom is occupied, you know. So this is the different nature. I would like to give examples for the two. For prayers, it's immediate comfort, indulgence, binging, you know, when you look at entertainment. It's the status. I work for how people see me, the immediate successes and material pleasures. The shreyas has a different taste to it. It's you would do spiritual practice. You would at times practice self-discipline because you have to tell the lower nature, which always wants to go to prayers, on. It's not good now. Control yourself. Shreyas is not aiming for pleasure, but for truth, for devotion, and for those decisions that help your soul to move forward. I think if we go through this these examples, what is prayers and shreyas, we begin to understand to move from prayers to shreyas requires some spiritual strength, not some additional, maybe an impulse, and we will deal with this. Now, the consequences are there. This prayers thinking often leads to entanglement, to distraction, and ultimately to suffering if it is pursued at the expense of deeper values. Whereas the shreyas decisions lead to inner peace, to wisdom, and ultimately to moksha and liberation. Now let me be very clear here. We all are human beings. We have senses and we need some a little, you know, gratification. And there is no problem for eating a bar of some chocolate or some comfort food. What is it? What do you eat? I have to be very strict. Let me remember. Pommes frites with mayonnaise. You know, tastes so good. We all may need it. Not when you're an old man, but we may need to go with friends and, you know, just laugh and say silly things to each other and just enjoy the company. Yes, That is understood. But if that is rooted in our false ego and not in the understanding, well, I'm a spiritual soul, but my body has and mind have some material needs here. I need to satisfy them to have peace with them. If it's just rooted in false ego, it is seen in psychology. It always ends in suffering. Our Lord Krishna says, "What tastes in the beginning like nectar, but in the end like poison," that's in the mode of that's ignorant and passionate enjoyment. You know, selfish, passionate enjoyment. Yes. Do you have a sense what we are talking about when we have shreyas and prayers? Does it sometimes appear in your life, this discussion? What should I do now? Should I go for the left path, for the what is immediately pleasant and enjoyable? I remember when I was a new devotee, I had a taste, before I came to Krishna consciousness, I tried to smoke, but I found it boring, so I put the tobacco into alcohol, whiskey and rum, and then had enhanced tobacco. Then I made my own, and then my skull moved up with pleasure. Only for 3 months, you know, I went very quickly through the material and things, you know, but I still remember when I understood this is prayers. This is only, it's not good in the long term to smoke. I said, okay, last cigarette. And I had still a half full package of tobacco, so I rolled it. I went to the toilet. First I put the bag of tobacco in the toilet seat. Then I felt, oh my God, I feel like a fool now. I know this is bad for me. And I mean, the taste is not so great. Otherwise, the industry would have sold it, you know. And I just threw it to the toilet. I'm going now for Shreyas. And it went away. I still remember, but I remember the struggle because the ego was not was rebelling. Therefore, if you really wish to do this, you need to understand it on a little deeper level, the level that addresses your human psychology. You know, when your mind becomes colored, the manas, by ahankara, the ego identification, it begins to it functions as the small mind. But when the mind, the same mind, is in contact with the self or with Krishna, it functions as a big mind. As you perhaps know, I don't take any sugar, I don't take any this, no milk products. No. Sometimes say people come to me, what do you eat? Be a little creative, then you will know what. But I do remember when I started this diet, which was important for me, for my sharpness of mind, muscles and organs and so on. I remembered there was some initial difficulty, but whenever I concentrated on the fact that I'm a soul and I want to go to Krishna, it was so easy. It was very simple, very simple. But when I came out of the big mind focusing on the self, on Krishna, and I was again in the identification with the body and the mind, it was difficult. So the small mind, which is colored by ahankara, is always has the following characteristic. It operates from attachment and fear. We forgot the word attachment here, and ask, what do I gain or what do I lose? When you want to go into the big mind, which rests in the awareness of the spiritual self, and of Krishna, you operate from the higher connection. What is true? What is best for my relationship with Krishna? The small mind, which is colored by the false ego, identifies with opinions. What do people think about me? Oh my God! What is my opinion? Identifies with habits and also on your own limitations. When you are attacked, for instance, and you are in the small mind, you are totally finished, you know. Someone doesn't like me, someone doesn't value me, and so on. But if you move into the big mind, where you are in contact with your higher self and with Krishna, you see two things. You see certain patterns behind what is now happening. Oh my God, this always happens to me in this situation. Perhaps I have something to learn here. And you also don't mind these sufferings. You may these personal attacks. So I want to jump over there are many points which we have done. I would like to go to the last point. The small mind, which is always in the ahankara, needs to control and to feel safe by its arrangements. And the big mind feels guided. Oh yes, oh, I think Krishna wants this for me, rather than driven. No, this is and the last. If you wish to make a copy of this, you can contact afterwards Bhanu Nandini, and we can send this to you. It may be sometimes helpful, because this is psychology in action, or spiritual life in action. You will all at one stage have to make decisions or choices that bring you to your spiritual well-being. Also, we have older devotees who are listening to this and who have stopped to endeavor in their spiritual life because they think, this is where we are, this is where we will stay. But if you want to build the life which you really desire as a spiritual person, you will have to make choices. I would like to give you an example from the Bhagavatam, a nice story. There were once two most opulent people. They were known as Nalakuvera and Manigriva. They were the sons of the most wealthy men in the universe. Do you know who that is? Kuvera, yes. He's called the treasurer of the gods. Wow! These two sons, like typical to sons who are born in opulent surroundings, participated in the tremendous wealth of their father, and they were intoxicated by liquor and false prestige. One time, they had a habit to go with naked girls, multiple partners, into the Ganga and then take intoxicants, and then they would have sexual pleasures, you know. You are all pious people, some of you not so, you know, there are parties where you could go in swimming pools and have this type of enjoyment. It is sold at a high price with unfortunate ladies and so on. It's a sad part. So once they were like this, totally naked, with multiple partners and drinking this very powerful beverage. It was not like wine, it was really the ultimate ultimate drug, you know. And blinded by pride and wealth, they were just enjoying and splashing and doing things. I will not try to engage my fantasy in what they did. When a great saint passed by, the ladies who were more sensitive saw, oh my God, this is a saint and he sees us in this condition doing these things. They immediately rushed out of the Ganga, covered themselves and quickly went away. But the two, Nala Kuvera, they saw the saint, hey, Sadhu Maharaj, have a drink. The saint was Narada Muni. And Narada Muni, for a moment he felt, I mean, these are the elevated people. How do they misuse their life? Then he felt compassion. My God, they are so much stuck in their life. They are so much overly attached to these physical pleasures, and they misuse their position totally. There's only one thing to bring these people to reason. I must create a situation where they can think again about their life. So he said to them, his voice was very strong, you fools, you will become trees and stand naked for many, many years so that you can think about it. This is what he said. His heart, however, was different. He said, I'm sorry, but sometimes a mother needs to pinch its sleeping baby to feed it nice sweet rice. So then he said, but at the end of this period, you will see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. You will take your birth as trees in the court in an area where later Krishna will appear, and Krishna will play in your direct vision, and finally Krishna will come and liberate you from your tree existence. But first, the shock treatment, go down. Nala Kuvera Manigriva fell and fell and fell and fell into planet Earth, where they took on the forms of two mighty branch trees. Now my prayers oriented sense, isn't it a little cold, Karari? Yes, I know, in the long term it's good, we will all stay awake, but so after a long, long time, Krishna had appeared on the planet. He looked on these trees and he thought, I can see there are four people two of them are the sons of Kuvera. I actually have no connection with them. But my great devotee, Narada Muni, has seen them. And in the disguise of a curse, he has given them the blessing. That's enough from me. So then he, at that time, in his pastime, you all know it, his mother had become concerned about his well-being and his character development, and she had punished him by binding him to a mortar, and Mirza. So Krishna pulled the mortar behind him. It got stuck between these two mighty trees, and with tremendous force and power, he pulled the mortar so that the two trees crashed. And now Nala Kuvera and Manigriva came out. They were liberated. They had their heavenly bodies. The whole area was merged in their effulgence. And two other people who were in the trees also came out. They were dark. These were Nuni and Chamu. Don't give your children these names, please. They were two demons who had, by their yogic powers, received the boon that no demon, no human being, and no devata could kill them. And they had taken shelter in those trees. Now, by breaking these trees, Krishna did not only deliver Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, but also, I won't ask you to repeat the names, Nuni and Chamu. Chamu. Yes. Take notice, my dear everyone, when you act totally under the influence of the ego, you always become less than you really are. When you totally enjoy prayers, you are always defeated in your character. If you get lost in these sense enjoyment and materialistic tendencies, demoniac personalities, Nuni and Chamu, could take over. I think sometimes after someone has been very angry and said all the things that shouldn't be said, this angry person who had let go and asked, what came over me? Do you know this situation? Why did I do this? What went on? How could I lose myself so much? I now, when I think back of my life before, there were many nice things and innocent things, but there were a few dark things there, which I will never tell to anyone because they're so dark. Now I think, what came over me? And my parents also said to me, sometimes we had the feelings you were not yourself. Not this joyful, peaceful person which you are now. You were different, totally different. Yes, because these small-minded prayers and shreyas sometimes, I'm not saying all the time, could mean Nuni and Chamu or other personality take over. Let us switch. When the trees crashed down, these two devatas came out with their original, with their bodies full of light, and when they were together, there was so much light. It looked as if two flames were mixing together. And they said a beautiful prayer, which I want to save with you. They had really woken up. They really had gone from prayers to shreyas. You will see what they say. Is it possible we first have the English and then the Sanskrit? Yeah. Henceforward, may all our words, you know, they saw Krishna and they say, wow, total change. From now on, henceforward, may all our words describe your pastimes. We don't want to talk nonsense any longer. We want to talk about you who have liberated us. May our ears engage an oral reception of your glories. May our hands and our legs and our other senses engage in actions that are pleasing to you. And may our minds always think of your lotus feet. May our heads offer our obeisances to everything within this world. Yes, because all things are you also your different forms. And may our eyes see the forms of Vaishnavas who are non-different from you. Can you see what happened to them? They had a total shift in mind, from the small mind to the big mind, from the mind which always saw me and my pleasures best with take some alcohol and some indecent pleasures. They were now thinking, we want to serve you, Krishna, with our ears, our eyes, our hands, our everything. And we want, they had such a big perspective, we want to see even the world as part of you and want to pay our obeisances. We don't fear the world any longer. We are seeing the world with our big perspective, a big mind, as being your kingdom. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes this state, I see only auspiciousness coming from all four directions. This is above the clouds, my dear everyone. This is moving from the small to the big mind. But what helped them to shift from the small to the big mind? Any idea?
Suffering?
Blessings from a Vaishnava, Narada Muni.
Darshan of Krishna.
The darshan of Krishna. They saw Krishna. Yeah. There were a few things which helped them, and you have mentioned them very nicely. I mean, the most obvious is the blessings of Narada Muni. If he wouldn't have passed by and said, this is not good, there's something much better than prayers, and had made this arrangement for them to see the Lord, it wouldn't be possible. It is always the question sometimes is asked, how do we get bhakti? And in our ISKCON society, we like to say, well, association of devotees. I want to ask, is that true? Don't worry, it is true, but not the way we speak about it often. My dear devotees, you get bhakti from the bhakti that is in the heart of the devotees. Just associating on a material platform, what's your newest WhatsApp number, or what is, how do I get this quick access to all the movies I want to see, or how, I don't know, you know, this is not good for, is not the necessary thing of bhakti. You get Krishna, you get bhakti from the bhakti of the devotees. Therefore, it's so good if you come together with many devotees and sing, because during the singing of kirtan, all the devotees are in their best elements, they are in the best consciousness. They are connecting with the bigger mind, with the mind where there is Krishna, and the bhakti is flowing from their hearts through their mouth into the atmosphere. No? There is no better therapy than just sit in an association of devotees who talk who sing about Krishna, not who talk politics or anything which is not. Because bhakti comes always from bhakti, and the bhakti is hiding in the heart of the devotees. Yes? No? Good. So, it was the blessings of the devotees, and the devotees are so nice, so wonderful, powerful devotees, that although they were disrespectful at the beginning towards Narada Muni, still he gave them his mercy. And the Bhagavatam describes how this is so. There is a verse I would like to chant with you in Sanskrit first, which says, the sadunam samachitanam, means their consciousness is equal-minded. You know, they don't make differentiations. So let us chant this. Is it too high, or is it possible for you? Is it all right? Sadunam samachittanam.
Sadunam samachittanam.
Sutaram matkritatmana. Dashanan no bhavet manda.
Dashanan no bhavet manda.
Pungsokshno savitu yata.
Pungsokshno savitu yata.
Prabhupada's translation is, here the sadhu is compared with the sun who doesn't make a differentiation, or this person is like this and that is a learned scholar. No, the sun gives its rays everywhere. When one is face to face with the sun, there is no longer darkness for one's eyes. Similarly, when one is face to face with a sadhu, a devotee, who's fully determined and surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one will no longer be subject to material bondage. No, this is the example. The sadhus, Narada Muni, arranged for the two prayers people to actually ultimately meet the Lord. Now, my dear devotees, an example is given in our scriptures which compares Krishna to the sun. Not only the sadhu is compared to the sun, also Krishna. And that Krishna sun will rise in your heart when you come in contact with him by chanting his name. Is that always true? It is not always true. When you commit nama aparad or offenses, at that time, the appearance of Krishna in your heart is covered by the clouds of Maya. The same thing happens if you are highly disrespectful towards sadhus. You will, because there is, I mean, they were jokingly disrespectful. Hey, want a drink? not maliciously things. So the effect, in other words, of sadhu sangha and nam kirtan can be delayed by nam aparad. You may even see Narada Muni or chant the holy name, you will not be released so easily from bondage. Therefore, they need a long waiting period in the body of the trees, you know, but ultimately it came. So don't wait too long, my dear devotees. Don't, you know, try to work on your spiritual life. Now I want to end this lecture. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Yes, I want to be very, very clear. If we are all in the school of prayers, we all, as conditioned souls, are interested in personal gratification. No? Yes? And to move into from this small mind where you really degrade yourself to the big mind, it is not always easy. But it is known in psychology, if you feel an emotional connection to something, I want this, I desire this, I can do it, my life would be so good if I do it. If that is there, you can approach your goal in small steps. In other words, you need to make a big priority out of it, and then make small steps towards it. I would like to, and when I celebrate my birthday, I will give one lecture about the morning monk, that for every one of us is able to become a morning monk, where they do for some time strong spiritual practices. But here I would like to just say simply, let's say your long-term goal is to wake up early in the morning. Who of you has seen the benefit of early up? Many. No, you have more time. You put the right impressions into your consciousness and so on. I think we all know that sometimes, especially in winter, early hours are dreaded by us. So tired, so dark, so if you want to use the early morning, which is best for spiritual practice, you need to first make it a big priority for you. You must think about it, you must read about it, you must make some small experiences about it and make it a big priority in your life, not something on the side. And then the mistake which we often do, and therefore we never get to where we, to Shreyas, to Shreyas goal, is we want to change everything at once. No, make small steps, even baby steps to it. Let us say you are habituated to rise at 10 o'clock in the morning. So you don't put the alarm clock immediately at 5 o'clock, because that will be possible only for you for a short time. First put it on 9 o'clock. Then 8:59. Very small steps. Then you arrive at 7 o'clock. Oh, maybe spring is coming, sun is coming. Then you can go 6:45, and you can finally come to your desired time and your body will be accustomed. This is a principle. I will give a very innocent example. I will not give you examples that make you blush. How does Satchinandan Swami do what I privately do and what I try to hide? You know, I will not do this today. I might do it at another time. So big priority and what?
Small
steps. That will work, my dear devotees. A priority where you feel, yeah, this is good. This I like to do. This is will make a significant change. And finally, I would like to give you 3 tips that bring you into the big mind or the Shreya's mind. First of all, when something is there, remember who you are. Shift your identification from the ego to the soul. Maybe you're in a situation where the conversations get heated. And you know, my God, if I now stay on the path, there will be quarrel in 10 minutes. And I don't want to quarrel with this person. The person is dear to me, is important to me. So shift from your identification from the ego and go to the soul. Ask the question, do I want to be right in my ego or do I want to be liberated from my ego and go to the soul? No? Remember who you are. I've once composed a song. I like poetry very much. You stumble where your treasures lie. If you rise, you can fly. Remember who you are. It continues, but so we always stumble when we are challenged to go to the deep to a deeper next level. But if you can rise after you have stumbled, you can cross or fly over these obstacles, and this is possible if you remember who you are. As the song goes, a spiritual star, a soul that does not die. Sounds a little like Jayadev, no? So the next is tip, connect and align your consciousness with Krishna. Very good. Oh, there I know, and the ultimate story is I am a part of Krishna. Yes, this is a wake-up call, no? Connect your consciousness with Krishna. What would please him? What would be good for coming to Krishna? And then finally, tell yourself, I wish to do this, I can do it, and so on. That is the lie. You need to have some emotion, some feeling for this. Good. What do you think? I see your cameras. Click, 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 click. Don't think what you have clicked in your camera is already in your heart. You will have to practice this. This is how you widen your perspective. Enough theory. My dear everyone, we will now enter the big mind through a practical guided experience. Yes. I would like to make an exercise with you that has four steps actually. I will guide you into a meditative consciousness, a still consciousness, a consciousness where your subtle body is relaxed and you can go to the deeper things, to the soul level. I will then engage you in a contemplation about three important questions. And afterwards, I will ask you to share with your neighbors. But for now, you need to put your notebooks away. I request you for a comfortable stretch like this. You do like this, and then in the Charleston position. That's an old dance which no one of you will know any longer. Yeah, like this. Sit down now straight, but comfortable. Don't slump over, please. Like this, straight. I have met some people who are afraid to close their eyes because then they're confronted with themselves. So if you belong to this category of social media junkies, then you keep your eyes open. But those of you who are comfortable with it, gently close your eyes. While remaining gently alert, we will relax our body now. It's simple. Let us tell your shoulders to just drop down to the in the direction of the floor, you know, just soften your jaw and your forehead. And then tell the rest of your body to simply relax. Shoulders, chest, belly, legs. Take a few calm breaths, inhaling and exhaling through your nose. It's easiest to lengthen your breath or deepen your breath if you exhale a little bit longer than you usually do through the nose, no? Some imagine the breath coming out of the nose and then extending for 50 centimeters. Others are just deeply breathing. And as you breathe, follow with your mind your inhale and your exhale. It is simple. You almost imagine you walk next to your inhale. And you walk with your exhale. It should be gentle breathing, not very forced. And you should not allow your mind to run around. You just stay with the breath. You're riding on your breath, if you so want. Whenever you breathe out, you tell yourself, your body, and your mind, let us relax a little bit more. Let all the tension go. Now, bring your awareness to your heart space. As you inhale, become aware of your heart and the space. And then gently allow everything that is not you slip away. Your job and roles, let go. Your plans and your goals, let go. Your dreams and aspirations, for a moment, let go. And your relationships, let go. Ask quietly within and then see what comes. Who am I? Who am I when everything that is not me is gone? Who am I in essence? Not my plans, not my roles, not my ego. Who am I in essence? Next, connect and align with your consciousness of Krishna. Think of Krishna, perhaps pray to him. And finally, ask a third question. What is the one positive attitude, the one small step, the one small new habit I would like to develop in relationship to my relationship, my connection with Krishna? Keep on breathing gently and let an answer come. What is the one thing, the one positive attitude, the one service or one sadhana I could do to improve my relationship with Krishna? Stay in this space. Answers will not come from the active mind. If they come, they will come from a deeper place. Slowly, return your attention to your breathing. Breathe in and out consciously. We have very good air in this room. Then gently and slowly give yourself the time you feel you need. Open your eyes and then come back to room awareness. Maybe it's good if we rub our hands a little. You know, it tingles the nerves and sends a signal in the body. Yeah, we are awake. Good. Now, very important, stay in that type of consciousness and look for a neighbor to talk with. I will ask you a question in a moment. Everyone found a neighbor, also the introverted people. Jorun? No, Jorun is not introverted. You're a yoga teacher, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It's good for you. You will see it is good for you. Ah, Dushta Mangala here. Hare Krishna. Herzlich willkommen. So, please, we had three things that can help us to turn from this or to shift from the small mind into the big one. Remember who you are and connect and align your consciousness with Krishna. Think of him in other words. And the last was tell yourself, I really wish to do this and work. If you have not yet the strong wish, you need to do some research and prioritize this one. I want to ask you now to share with your neighbor how do you personally connect with Krishna? What do you do? Do you read? Do you think? What do you experience when you connect with the soul and Krishna? It's two things. What do you feel? What do you experience? How do you do this when you connect with the soul and with Krishna? Please start now and let the other person also have a chance to talk.
Thank you.
Two more minutes. So, Hare Krishna, I wanted to just make a little comment. I received actually a very good inspiration. You know, when some of these reflection exercises, I think you notice what we are doing in this reflection exercise. We take one point, the main point often from the lectures, and we want to bring that into now application in life. So our lecture today is from the small mind to the big mind. And after you have heard a lot on these subjects and meditated, I requested you to do the steps which are necessary from the spiritual point of view. We are spiritualists, you know. Oops. And to move and shift into this mindset. Now, we will obviously touch upon some very private and personal matters. And if you don't feel safe with one person because you just don't know them, or you could not, when you made eye contact, you could see your natures were just so different that you may not have felt very comfortable making eye contact, then decide how deep you will talk. But still engage fully, but the depths you have to decide. Because usually we learn a lot when we listen to another person's perspectives and insights, perhaps, obstacles, you know. It is widening our perspective. So, but but you need to apply a little discretion where you say, okay, I can go in this conversation to this amount, to this depth, and I wouldn't go any further here. This I could only do with a very good friend who knows me and whom I know. This is just a little tip, because we will do perhaps one more of this. Not today. For today, I want to complete the discussion or the lecture. I must tell you something where I will express some vulnerability. There was a time in my devotional life when I was really not comfortable with the things I saw which went on in our movement. In fact, I was disturbed by it, and there was, I was also in that time, there was a very unpleasant relationship with an older devotee, and I felt the things which I objected to all came through his mindset and his thing. So at that time, I needed to really make some important decisions in my life. How would I participate? I'm a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and I'm very, very grateful to him, and have the greatest of I would say feelings also. It is love mixed with sincere admiration and so on. So I was having these questions and these doubts, and it was at that time that I said I need a long walk in the forest. That's what I always did in my life. I usually took a long walk along the beach of the. I lived on an island, and I was took a long walk and thought about things. And here was there was a forest, equally good. And I was stuck with these unpleasant feelings of hurt, and it was not getting better. So I remember then there was a bench in the forest, so I went and sat on the bench, and then I took a rest. I said, let me sleep a little, perhaps it's better afterwards. When I woke up, I looked around in the nature, heard the birds chirping, and all of a sudden it came to me, wait a minute, I'm actually part of all of this. I'm part of nature, I'm a created being, I'm part of creation. Wow. And wait a minute, there is in my life, just like I can hear the birds now chirping, I need to hear the voice of Krishna. I need to hear him and see him. Wow, I totally forgotten the point. It's all about Krishna, and it's about my relationship with him. I allowed others thinking, others behavior, which was not with my according to my nature, to dominate me with feelings of dissatisfaction or anger or resentment and so on. But that's not the point why I started the spiritual practice. It's about something much, much, much bigger than that. It is about my relationship to the Supreme Lord. And Wow, I was very happy with this insight. Usually whenever, wherever I go, I have a songbook with me. I like to sing and dance. What to do? That was always the case. So I, let me see. And I opened my songbook and sang a song of joy in the forest, and only the birds heard me and someone else. The one with a thousand names. I'm sure he heard me, because afterwards I was just so absolutely inspired. I think Krishna heard me. So what did I do, or what happened to me? I shifted from the small mind, which is all about protection, which operates from fear and hurt, who identifies with others' opinions and habits and conditionings. I went from the small mind, which is often so defensive and comparative and reactive, and which is always in separation from the spiritual reality. I just switched and went into the big mind, where I went into, out of this separation, this illusory separation, and related with Krishna. I can only say, you have heard this lecture now. I do believe there are some very deep points in it which require your own digestion. Remember? I feel a little foolish. I should get another lobster. This is for up to 5 years, you know, this lobster. But you are all older. You need another lobster. Remember, you are here in life. You need to get out of the limitation, the hard shell of the small mind, of the ego, and you need to enter the vast understanding where there's love, where there's Krishna, where there's trust. And it should not be theoretical. It should be very concrete and very real. So I look now at Gaura Hari. I think we went a little over time, so better stop here. Tomorrow I will have only, I have a relatively brief subject, which is easy to, which is much easier than this one. So if you have questions, sometimes it's good to think about the questions a little bit. Are they important? Are they helpful to others perhaps also? And then please save your questions for tomorrow. For now, I thank you very much. Have a wonderful first day. No, sorry. You are, some of you are for a long time here. Let us have a wonderful day today together, and see you, and Hare Krishna. Yeah.